Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's, home of the $5 Biggie Bag. Crew's all here today. And every Monday, we're joined by John Feinstein. Always look forward to our segment with John. Brought to you by All-American Pest Control. Plan starting at just $39 a month. Visit yuckbugs.com. John, how are you?
I'm good, Jonathan. I hope you guys are well. I figure you were running a couple minutes late because you were watching another replay from the Chargers-Titans game.
We were. Actually, the third time we've watched it, John.
The third time you've watched the 20-second replay or something.
Yeah.
My God. So that was, you know, Gene Steratore, who I like. I've known Gene for years, both as a football and a basketball referee, was defending replay. I can't remember what he works for, CBS or Fox, but he was defending replay after, because there was another lengthy replay at the exact same time in the Seahawks-Ravens game. And I don't know about you guys. I've just had enough. It's over the top. It's constant, and it takes too long. And even when you've got replays where the first look shows you that the call should stand or the call shouldn't stand, either way, it takes forever. And I just don't think it's good for – I'm not even just talking football. I just don't think all this replay – is good for sports. I know we want to get the calls right. I get that part of it, but it's too much. It's over the top. And the end of your game yesterday, granted it worked out for the Titans, I know that, but that was just as a viewer, not as a fan of either team necessarily, I found it just torturous.
It was an incredibly inept ending on all sides, both teams, both coaching staffs, the refs, the review process, everything. Gene Steratore, though, this is interesting to me, John, because you have a completely different take on this. Right as the game's ending on CBS, he says, you know, this is what's great about review.
That's exactly what I'm referencing.
This is exactly why we do this. We had this many reviews, and we got it right. But yet, when it appears that Ryan Tannehill got a first down on a sneak, Mike Vrabel does not throw the challenge flag. Why? Because they're told they're not going to overturn plays like that are that close. So I'm sitting there thinking to myself, well, why is it that way on one set of rules, but yet we're fine looking at it for 2 minutes to get it right on other times? Because I feel like he got the first down. I feel like it was worth reviewing at the very least.
I was stunned when Mike Vrabel didn't throw the flag.
But it's just weird to me that I don't find it acceptable that the answer is, well, we're just probably not going to overturn those.
Yeah, now they review every scoring play. I mean, most of the time it's routine, and obviously it saved the Titans yesterday. I thought he'd made the first down too, and I was shocked, and both Fouts and Ian Eagle were shocked that Vrabel didn't throw the red flag. The Titans had three timeouts to work with at that point. And the game's over, obviously, if he makes that first down, because the Chargers were out of timeout. So it's out of control. And again, I like Gene Steratore personally. I think he was a great NFL ref and a very good basketball ref. But enough already. I mean, I know it'll never happen, but I would almost advocate just get rid of all replay. Just whatever, hire competent refs first of all. And tell them you better get the calls right, because if we go and look at a replay on Monday and you missed it, eventually if you miss enough, it'll cost you your job.
I mean, go back to absolutely nothing with the available technology. We'd be
it's
having
not happen.
The same debate.
I understand that. But isn't it ironic, though, that the one play we've seen in I don't know how long that clearly should have been overturned was the pass interference in the Saints-Rams game, and at that moment in time, they did not have the wherewithal for the play to be overturned because of the rules.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what replay is supposed to be for. Whoa, that's clearly wrong. Let's fix it. Not is it an inch off here, is it an inch off there? Because, on the catch that the Chargers receiver made that looked like initially he was in, and then they showed, that his back was on the ground a foot before the goal line. Again, as a neutral observer, if that had been a touchdown, I wouldn't have minded. It was that close. And obviously, as a Titans fan, you're thrilled that they overturned it. But it's just taking too much time, and it's happening too often.
John, how much does the loss for Wisconsin factor into your interest in Wisconsin-Ohio State this weekend?
I'll still be interested, Jonathan. I mean, obviously, it would have been nice for the TV networks, if nothing else, to have two undefeated teams. And on the other hand, I saw the end of it, the Wisconsin-Illinois game. Illinois deserved to win, and Wisconsin deserved to lose. And I was very happy for Illinois to get a win over someone not named Rutgers, and obviously it was a big-time deal for them. But the reason I will still find the game intriguing is because I don't think we have any idea yet how good Ohio State is. I mean, the best team they probably played is Cincinnati, who they crushed, but they haven't played anybody good yet. And now they're playing a good team on Saturday, no doubt about it, and we'll see. Do they crush them? Do they just beat them, or do they lose to them? So Ohio State has three good tests coming up here with Wisconsin and Michigan and Penn State, not in that order. But we're going to find out if Ohio State is good in the next few weeks.
John, test my sanity here for a moment. I get home from some TV last night after the Titans game, and I watch a little bit of an NFL recap, and then I find the Golf Channel. And I'm watching the Japan Skills event live with Tiger Woods, Jason Day.
That right there proves you're insane.
Yeah. Okay. Weird.
But here's what here's what really got it was great background for me as I was working on today's show, because they had everybody mic'd up. And they would just leave them mic'd up for the most random conversations ever. I thoroughly enjoyed I watched 6 or 7 holes of that live event. How crazy am I?
Well, again, if you were hearing things that interested you,
I won't even say that.
All the time that nobody else in the world.
Yeah,
would watch. I can't get on somebody for watching something that I wouldn't watch. Now, understand that exhibition golf has been mic'd dating back to the CBS Golf Classic in the '60s. Frank Cherkinian put mics on the players. It was a team match play event, sort of a mini kind of Ryder Cup type event, match play. It was taped in the summer, and it aired all winter on tape, and the players were all mic'd up. And for me, I was a kid, but for me, it was really interesting to hear the players talking. And that's sort of the one appeal of exhibition golf, is that they can mic the players, because the players don't really give a damn. It's not like they're playing with their own money.
Right.
They're playing with some corporation's money. So, they'll talk. They'll be a little bit open, more open than normal. Did Tiger Woods say anything that interested you? Because if so, you should write it down, because he might help him in his memoir.
No, I won't go that far to say it was anything interesting. It was just, in the moment, it was different. That's
sure.
All.
And you had in two of those guys. I don't know Matsuyama at all. Don't know how good his English is. It's a lot better than my Japanese.
It was okay.
In Rory McIlroy and Jason Day, you've got two very, very open with the media, very interesting guys. So I wouldn't be surprised if you heard something kind of interesting or funny from either one of them. I hope somebody commented today on his pace of play, because his pace of play is brutal.
Here's a 2-1.
And that's driven deep to left center field. Garner is going back. Looking out. See you later. See you later. Astros headed back to the World Series. Jose Altuve, a walk-off two-run homer. And the Astros beat the Yankees 6-4. Win the ALCS. 4-2.
I was just thanking God for the opportunity to go to another World Series, and thanks everybody in the ballpark, because you guys are the bigger reason why we're here. And my teammates, they're the MVPs of the game.
John Feinstein with us, but first, Paul, your thoughts.
It's going to take me a while to recover from that.
That was really mean. Did David play that?
Yeah.
He did indeed.
We're mean about baseball in here.
That was really mean.
I hadn't heard it, and I didn't need to hear it.
That's like playing the Buckner boot for a Red Sox.
Yeah. We would do that.
For the record, the score was tied when Buckner booted that ball. Most Red Sox fans are convinced that if he makes that play, they win the World Series. If he makes that play, they go to the 11th inning.
Yeah, most Titans fans recall Kevin Dyson's reach for the end zone as winning the game, and tied the game.
Exactly.
Part of what's helped me come to terms with this is that I've come to the conclusion that the Astros are just extraordinarily good. And that's
they're very good. I mean, they didn't win 107 games by accident.
That's why I think the World Series is going to be short, because I don't really care who Washington's got throwing. I think the Astros are just a find a way team.
Well, I hope you're right, Paul, because as you know, I'm from New York and I'm a Mets fan, and B, I live here in Washington and I'm surrounded by people who basically think the Nationals have already won the World Series and are very much planning the parade. And the Nationals have been terrific in postseason. Look, they came from 3-0 down in the wild card game. They were 2 runs down facing Kershaw in the 8th inning of game 5 in Los Angeles and came back and won. And then they just destroyed the Cardinals. Now, the thing I'm going to tell you is their starting pitching has been great in postseason. And it hasn't just been Scherzer and Strasburg. They sent out Sanchez in game 1. Of the championship series, and he pitched 6 shutout innings. Corbin had a bad relief appearance, but he's been good as a starter. I think it's a toss-up series. I wouldn't be shocked to see it go 6 or 7. I wouldn't be shocked to see either team win. I like the Astros. I think they're a very appealing team. I don't necessarily find the Nationals to be appealing because I think their general manager, Mike Rizzo, who's very good at his job, thinks he invented the game of baseball. And so, again, living here surrounded by Nationals fans, I would love to see the Astros win, and would have been put in a very unusual position had the Yankees won the pennant of rooting for the Yankees, because that has not happened often in my life.
Another heartbreaking reason. That's as bad as listening to that.
I would have loved for you and I to be on the same side, right?
It would have been terrific.
Yeah. Yeah, we could have texted or something back and forth during the game.
My boy and I should be packing our suitcases tonight to go to game 1.
Well, look at it this way. You won't have to deal with New York traffic. You'd have been Houston. You wouldn't have had to deal with Houston.
No, I would have been.
You would have been in New York.
I would have been in New York.
I'm getting old.
We would have been taking the train or Ubering. It would have been fine. I would have endured all, John, for this dream.
I got to tell you a quick funny story. It's sort of off the subject, but when Danny Willett won the Masters in 2016, he was invited to throw out a first pitch at Yankee Stadium. And I talked to him shortly after that, and I said, was that pretty cool? And he said, well, it would have been cooler if it had been in the real Yankee Stadium.
No.
I thought that was great coming from a guy who grew up in England.
Here's another stat for dominance. With the loss to the Astros, it's the first decade in which the Yankees will not appear in the World Series since the 1910s.
Yeah, I was aware of that stat, and that it's been, you know, they won in 09 and haven't been back to the series since then. That being said, Jonathan, to be fair, they had an amazing season given all the injuries. I mean, they were constantly hurt. They got nothing out of Giancarlo Stanton. I think Aaron Boone has proved in 2 years that Brian Cashman knew what he was doing when he plucked him from the broadcast booth to be the manager. He's done a tremendous job.
And wait till next year.
Wait till next year and see if you pick up Garrett Cole. That should be what you want for Christmas.
Yeah, they need starters.
Sounds like a Braves fan. So, John, Dabo Swinney got awfully creative with punishment for Andrew Booth Jr., his cornerback who threw a punch. He said he was going to handle it internally, and that punishment started with putting him on a bus with the managers, and he had to drive back instead of fly back with the team for 450 miles.
I guess he made his point.
Yeah. What do you think about that as some punishment?
I'm going back in history here, but when Mike Krzyzewski was the senior at Army playing for Bob Knight, they lost a game at Princeton in overtime, and his then-girlfriend, now wife of 50 years, Mickey Krzyzewski, then Mickey Marsh, had breakfast with him the next morning in the hotel cafeteria before they left to go back to West Point. And Knight walked in, saw Knight with his with his girlfriend, Krzyzewski with his girlfriend, hours after a tough loss, and told Krzyzewski, "You're off the team. Find your own way back to West Point." And Krzyzewski had to go buy a Greyhound bus ticket to get back to West Point. At least this guy had a ride from the managers, didn't have to figure out a way to get home. But that is a long drive.
So, John, we have this back-and-forth sort of friendly feud with Dan Dockich up in Indianapolis.
But there's you know, he's a good friend of mine.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm getting to here. But there's this ranking that comes out. His show is ranked number one in the country in the time slot. We were number two. We constantly talk about how we're going to replace him and be number one. This just coming down from the Indianapolis Star, Dan Dockich has been suspended from his show on ESPN in Indianapolis for failure to adhere to journalistic principles for something that happened a year ago. And no one knows what it is, but he will not be on his show all week. And John, as you know, and he's got a great show, but
yeah, he does.
His show is based on unadulterated, unfiltered opinions and not being afraid of anything. So this is confusing why or what would have happened that we wouldn't even know about a year ago about journalistic principles, why he's being suspended for a week from a show.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. And this is the first I've heard of it. I can't even imagine.
It just happened.
What it would be because, again, like you said, Dan will say anything. And Dan will disagree with anybody. And I don't know what it could be. Whenever I go on Dan's show, we shout at each other for at least half the time. Because that's who Dan is and that's who I am. But this is baffling to me because Dan does have a great show. I would think your show would be number one since I'm on once a week.
Yeah, it's about to be number one.
It may be number one now.
Unintended consequence of this suspension.
Yep.
Yeah, but, it's baffling to me. And really, journalistic principles, I mean, what the heck could that be about?
The only thing I can that come to mind are his feud with Tom Izzo recently, which was in the last year and a half.
Yeah, which is weird because he and Izzo were close once.
And then he's been going back and forth with the Colts over some decisions with ownership.
Well, the other thing
lying to the fans.
We're all spitballing here. You know, he has been very publicly critical of Bob Knight in recent years, and talked about what went on when he was coaching for Knight and playing for Knight. And Bob Knight has moved back to Bloomington. And I wonder if some sponsor, and people know that Knight's got some health issues, serious ones. But I wonder if somebody complained about what Dan has said about Bob Knight, although to me that's not violating any kind of journalistic principle to express your opinion.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't get it.
John, thank you as always. We always enjoy the segments, and we will catch up next week.
Thank you as always, Paul. I hope you're right about the World Series.
Well,
you should see
his face
right now.
Let's worry about my recovery. Let's worry about my recovery.
Well, we always worry about your recovery.
Yes, we do. It's a constant recovery for Paul Koharski.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you, John. John Feinstein. Bye. So,
Jim Wyatt told me in the press box yesterday I need a talk from his wife, who told him about 4 or 5 days after the Dodgers were out that he needs to stop being a baby.
Yeah, that's what you need. So, and congratulations to Jim's wife on the top teacher?
Yeah, in the Best of Nashville in the Scene poll. She was number one?
I think number one. Yeah. So Dan Dockich last year went and had the colonoscopy on air, and he becomes number one. And now that we match that with Paul's colonoscopy, we now have to live up to being suspended for journalistic integrity.
Yeah.
What can we do? What can we do to get suspended? Because his street cred just went way up with that suspension.
Our plotting begins during this break.
Right. There are some who do say and have said recently that Paul has none, so that'd be a problem to violating.
We'll get into that at 1:30 today.
Hard to violate something going on.
Stay tuned at 1:30.
Coming up at 1:30, you don't want to miss this.
How dare you?